Issues, Etc. regular guest Pastor Jonathan Fisk is the author of our book of the month for February. It's titled Without Flesh. What does the church have to offer the world in this present darkness? Find out in Without Flesh. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. The Issues, Etc. book of the month for February, Without Flesh by Pastor Jonathan Fisk.
We can thank Hillary Clinton in 2016 for the worst platform language in the history of the platform language. And it was clear she didn't want to vote, so I guess she got what she asked for.
For many, politics is becoming their religion, both on the right and on the left. And I think that it's important that we recognize that this is ultimately a spiritual battle. You can't make the mistake of letting the power of the gospel deny the accountability of the human being to resist and reject what God gives.
This is Jeff in Michigan, Lutheran layman learning Latin, love, issues, etc. Pater noster qui es in caelis, sanctificetur.
I think the last time that we reviewed a film that was not only subtitled but foreign language, that is not English, might have been The Passion of the Christ years and years ago. Most of that was in Latin and Aramaic. It was subtitled. I remember watching the film, not having any trouble following it. Of course, I was very familiar with the source material. There's a foreign language film, Korean this time, subtitled for American audiences, called Parasite, that is getting a lot of attention, a lot of nominations, especially at the Oscars. It is Hitchcockian and a little bit Shakespearean, says Pastor Ted Geese. Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll review the movie Parasite with Pastor Ted Geese. Then we'll go on to talk with Mark Hemingway, senior writer for Real Clear Investigations, about three issues: the impeachment trial of President Donald Trump, the final voting getting underway as we speak, President Trump's State of the Union address last night. He sounded some very strong pro-life notes, and the ongoing debacle that is the Iowa caucuses. Kevin Golden joins us after that. We'll talk about Old Testament patriarch Jacob, remembered on the 5th of February. Then Terry Mattingly joins us to talk about a Providence Journal story about a priest who informed his parishioners that pro-choice Catholic politicians would be denied communion, and how the local paper bungled the story, messed up the story. Joining us to talk about the film Parasite, Academy Award nominated, Pastor Ted Geese. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He teaches a course for Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary in St. Catharines, Ontario, titled A Lutheran Approach to Art, Media, and Film. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
This film, I think a thriller, kind of a Hitchcockian thriller, Parasite, what has it been nominated for?
For the Oscars, it's nominated for Best Picture of the Year, also Best Achievement in Directing for the director Bong Joon-ho, and Best Original Screenplay, also Best International Feature Film, and Best Achievement in Production Design, and Best Achievement in Film Editing. So that's a whole bunch. It also was the winner of the Golden Globe for Best Motion Picture Foreign Language. And then at the BAFTAs, it won, that's the British Film Awards, it won Best Screenplay and also Best Film Not in the English Language. And then at the SAG Awards, it just won Outstanding Performance by a Cast in a Motion Picture. So this is for all of the actors and the work that they did in the movie.
Tell us the story that's being told in Parasite.
Okay, so often when I go see movies, I don't even see the trailer. Like, I really try to avoid as much as humanly possible, and I really, really tried to avoid this one in terms of the finding out anything about it. At one point, Michelle, my wife, started playing the trailer, and I got about 30 seconds in, and I was like, okay, I can't watch any more of that, because it is a suspense film. It's, like you said, it's like a Hitchcock kind of a thing. It's certainly kind of almost a thriller. And there's a crime element to it, and I kind of don't want to give away too much. We're going to spoil some things, but I don't want to spoil everything for people who might be curious or interested about this film. So what you have is you have a poor, kind of down-their-luck family of sort of semi-con artists. Like, certainly, they're always kind of trying to get an angle on things. Like if they're folding pizza boxes, they're trying to figure out a way to do it where they don't have to work very hard, but they still get their money, kind of a thing. And the boy in the family, this is the Kim family, the boy in the family gets tapped on the shoulder by a friend of his who's in university, who's been tutoring a girl kind of like at the end of high school in this rich family called the Park family. And as a result, he ends up going there, doing an interview. He gets a job being the English tutor for this young girl. And then he starts to insinuate other members of his family. So he's got a sister and a mother and a father. He starts to insinuate them into the Park family. So they have a driver. So they get the father to be the driver. They get his sister to be the art teacher to the teenage girl's younger brother, who's like a little kid. And then there's a housekeeper, and they want to get the mother in to be the housekeeper. So then the whole entire family ends up becoming workers for the Park family. The Kim family works for the Park family, but the Kim family are kind of con artists. So they've done all of this in such a way that the Park family doesn't know that they're all a family and that they're related. So it's all like his sister's not his sister. It's his cousin's friend. The dad is a driver for somebody that the sister knows. Like, it's all kind of designed in such a way that they're pulling something over on this Park family. You've got that. That's kind of the setup. So a lot of the tension comes, especially in the first part of the film, is are they going to get found out? Is their ruse going to work, kind of a thing? And then you start to get to know the Park family, and you discover that the Park family is not exactly... They're a very rich, wealthy family, and they don't really have a lot of love and affection towards the poor, actually. So they've got this kind of look on the poor where, or even like, you know, Mr. Park, he actually talks about the poor having a smell. And this is all like laying the foundation for where this film is going to end up going.
So there is, spoiler alert, and as you say, unexpected incident. What happens?
Well, that's what I don't want to tell you about. I don't want to give that away. So like, if you go look on IMDb, there's like a little synopsis, right? It says that this unemployed family takes a peculiar interest in a rich and glamorous family, and they integrate themselves into their lives and get entangled in an unexpected incident. So that unexpected incident that's the part I don't want to tell you about. In theory, the idea with having this is a good film. This is an excellent, suspenseful, crazy movie. And the fact that it was nominated for the Oscars and is actually winning awards in other award venues, it's going to bring it to the popular audience of North America, right? And like, some people won't have found this movie otherwise. Audiences might know who this Bong Joon-ho is, but not know who he is. So in fact, like, he did this movie called Snowpiercer from 2013 with Chris Evans and Ed Harris and Tilda Swinton and John Hurt and Octavia Spencer about the train circling the globe during kind of like an ice age brought on by global climate change or whatever. And a lot of people saw that. That's an English language film. So a lot of his films are actually Korean language. He did The Host in 2006, which was quite a popular movie at the time in terms of a Korean movie. A genre movie, kind of a monster horror film kind of a thing. So a lot of people are probably going to get to know this film, and I don't really want to, like, if you're listening to this, dear listener, and you're like, I might be interested in a really crazy suspense film, then I don't want to ruin it for you. That's the long answer to your short question.
Is it subtitled?
Yeah, it is subtitled. In fact, I think when they won the Golden Globes, he even had like a comment about, like, if you can get past the bottom inch of your screen, there's all of these great movies out there in the world, like, that are just subtitled. It is subtitled. I don't mind subtitles. It doesn't bother me at all. My wife, Michelle, kind of really enjoys subtitled films, which is good for me. And it didn't detract from anything from my viewing of it. I know some people are not sure about subtitled films, but I think this one is well worth it and, you know, worth giving it a shot.
What kind of catechetical angles did you notice in the film?
Well, I mean, as you're like thinking about the way that I was talking about all of this, the fact that this kind of poor family is kind of ingratiating or kind of like working their way into this rich family's life, you know, you've got a couple things going on. Like the one thing is that the rich family, the Parks, live in this very beautiful house. So the house is very modern looking, and but it's a gorgeous house, and it's a big contrast to the basement apartment that the Kim family live in. So you could kind of think of like the ninth commandment, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. So there's a way in which them working in this house, they start to take on the perks of living in the house, and they kind of start to think of it as their house, and they're kind of imagining what it would be like if one of them married somebody in the family and this became their in-laws' house and all the rest of it. So you have this this sort of sense in which you've got like that commandment being broken. Then the other thing is in order to get themselves all in there to these different jobs, they have to force away their neighbor's workers to make it happen, right? I mean, there was an opening for the art teacher that the sister takes, but after that, they have to drive away the chauffeur and they have to drive away the housekeeper. So this is the 10th commandment kind of a thing. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. So coveting those jobs and forcing those people away, that fits into the 10th commandment. Of course, it's a thriller, suspense film, so there's a little bit of thou shalt not murder kind of thing kind of starts to creep into there as well. Plus, they're all kind of lying about their identities to get their job. So that's an 8th commandment thing. Plus, the mother and the father actually steal the jobs of these other people that they force away. So that's, you know, a 7th commandment thing. So if you want to think about it in that way, you can kind of see all of that in the film.
Pastor Ted Geese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He is pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He teaches a course for Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary in St. Catharines, Ontario, Canada, titled The Lutheran Approach to Art, Media, and Film. Next time we'll talk with him about the film Jojo Rabbit. When we come back, Mark Hemingway, senior writer for Real Clear Investigations, joins us. We're going to talk about the impeachment trial of President Trump. The final vote on the first article of impeachment is taking place as we speak. We'll talk about President Trump's State of the Union address and the Iowa caucuses. And we're going to have a ball just like we always do. Saturday night and the moon is, who cares what picture you see? Issues Etc. Regular guest Pastor Jonathan Fisk is the author of our Book of the Month for February. It's titled Without Flesh. What does the church have to offer the world in this present darkness? Find out in Without Flesh. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February, Without Flesh, by Pastor Jonathan Fisk.
At Our Savior Lutheran Church in Winchester, Virginia, you will hear God's Word faithfully preached every Sunday. We invite you to join our growing family of believers this week and every week for Education Hour beginning at 9 a.m., followed by Divine Worship at 10 a.m. For more information, find us on the web at oursavior-lcms.org. That's oursavior-lcms.org.
Lutheranism in the Public Square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you appreciate Issues Etc., talk radio for the thinking Christian, and Lutheran Public Radio, sacred music for the world, please include a bequest in your will or trust for these worldwide media resources. Bequests aren't subject to federal tax or capital gains taxes. Ensure your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren the opportunity to listen by including a bequest in your will or trust for Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll study the Spirit of Truth. Jesus leaves his peace, the true vine, greater love, hatred, and persecution. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, as we continue our walk through St. John's Gospel on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.